with.
It doesn't become clear for me, I guess. I have trouble. All right.
Well, why don't we start with your family background, Janora, and your grandparents, and how your family happened to be in Michigan. And I know they were part of your family, a very important family. So if we can get some of that early family background, beginning, you know, tracing back, and your grandparents and your own, both your own memory of your grandparents, as well as what your parents had told you about them.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of some of the prominent people and the last names. My father's name, of course, I told you about, but they were the Carpenters and the Eatons. And what other? They're all English names. They're typically English, you know. Oh, my. On both sides of the family. Well, that isn't too important, but okay. What do you want me to do?
Why don't you just begin then with, the family background generally, and then more about your grandparents
yourself. All right. My grandfather on my father's side moved to Flint proper, a little village then it was, the Flint, and I don't know, the early 1800s, he was a farmer and a county supervisor, a captain in the Civil War, and a school teacher. And in those days, he must have been quite a figure. He was known as the silver-tongued Jarve. His name was Jarvis Albro, and Captain Jarve. And he was known as the silver-tongued Jarve. Captain Jarve, I guess. Silver-tongued Captain Jarve, that was it. Before people could afford, before there were a whole lot of attorneys with degrees, and people could afford attorneys, whenever a man got in a difficulty and his case was being heard in the county court or the local court, if he didn't have money, he would come to my grandfather. And my grandfather would leave his business or whatever he was doing and go into court and plead the case for him. And he was supposed to have been a powerful enough orator that he never lost a case.
But this is something he did in his spare time, in other words. He wasn't practicing as a lawyer. He was
no, I don't think in little villages that they had very many practicing lawyers, you know. People used to just go plead their own cases before the judge or the magistrate or whoever. His grandfather died before I was born, so I never had any contact with him, but he was a legend in our family. And three sons that he produced were entirely different than he was. My father was one of them. And he was, he was entirely different. He wasn't an orator, he wasn't a thinker, but he was a money maker. He knew how to, you know, make a lot of money. And he did this through different methods of real estate investments, land investment, and his photography business. He had he was a photographer in Flint when they used to use flash cabinets. They had powder in cabinets for the lighting, and they would light it and take the picture at the moment of the flash. And he had a quick service photograph business very, very early. My mother was the cultured person in the family. She was a graduate of the Chicago Conservatory of Music, and she taught piano lessons for a while, and she had a beautiful alto voice and used to sing in Italian. And he was quite the opposite. He didn't appreciate classical music. In fact, their likes were so entirely different, so completely different, these two people.
What was her background and her family like?
She came from Three Rivers, Michigan. And her mother was born in Flower Fields, Michigan. Now, that's in the southwestern part of the state. And because she had gone to Chicago to stay with my great aunt Janora and graduate from the conservatory there, when she came back to her little hometown where girls got married at the age of 16 and 18 and so on, she felt very, very lonely. All of her girlfriends, all of her boyfriends had married and settled down. And here she was 25 years old, and they began to refer to her as an old maid. And she, at first she didn't object too much, but then she began to become kind of apprehensive. Maybe there was something, even though she was the beauty queen of the city when she was younger, she thought maybe there was something wrong with her. And she told me many times that she felt that was one reason that she didn't hesitate a lot longer before saying yes to my father, who had had a glib tongue, and he was a very energetic man when it came to making money.
Well, had she gone to Flint? Is that it?
Yes, she went to Flint. There was an AC factory, and she went up there, and I think it was just before she married, she went to Flint and worked in that factory for a while. I think that was to provide money for her family. She was the last child at home, the last daughter at home. And while she was giving piano lessons in Three Rivers, it was not enough for her family. Her father couldn't work, and there was no welfare system, and the children had to support the parents during those days. So that's where she met my father.
So it wasn't in congruence that on the one hand she had gone to Chicago and then gone to a conservatory, and on the other hand went to factory to work?
Yes, it is, and that's not quite right. But see, he came to Three Rivers, and he met her through somebody. I don't remember. And then when he persuaded her to come up to Flint to see his hometown and so on, she thought that it would be, she could remain there and get acquainted with the city, I think. And, or maybe they had gotten married at the time. I can't remember the story exactly. So that while she was there, she could send money to her parents. Oh. That's the way it was.
But while she was there. It was viewed as being all right for her to work in the factory, even though she was supposedly just very cultured, I presume. Young woman must have had some.
It was a very exciting adventure. This was a small little sleepy farm town, and suddenly one of the world's greatest inventions blossomed forth in the city. And I understand that the first ones looked very much like buggies, you know, with motors in them. They even had the buggy socket, the socket for the buggy whip. And it was a very exciting thing. And everyone was going around at the time, from what I hear, saying, oh, Flint is going to be on the map of the world, you know. So I don't think that anybody thought much about it. There weren't many women working in the shops. It would have to be a single type of person and a free and person able to go in there. And it wasn't for very long. She wasn't in there very long. I just remember her saying that she one time worked for a little while in AC factory.
Did she have any feelings about women during, I mean, this was still being before suffrage and during the equal rights, where women were much, much more active. Was she involved in that or had any connection at all?
I don't think she came in contact with it in Chicago, and certainly it wouldn't be in those little sleepy villages of Michigan. And
I was just wondering in terms of your own sentiment.